Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Bone of the Mo Thugs movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen. In a world full of followers, be proud to be different. Be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women. Everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats
at a price nobody can match.
I'm going to ask you this, though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. You know, today is a bucket list show for me. This gentleman isn't from the United States, but he speaks with a global voice. He's a man that has created change in many lives, and truly a man that stands behind values. And it's something that's a rarity in our society today. And when I got the opportunity to get him on the show, I got to admit, I kind of melted, because you look at the history of this man. His walk has never been about him. His walk has always been about others and keeping his country whole. With that being said, I'd like to welcome the one and only Norm Traversy. Norm, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing swell. How are you?
Oh, I'm tickled to death, bro. I'm not going to lie. You know, you're probably one of my most favorite Canadian people to have on my show thus far. You're a bucket list, and that's a rarity for a journalist like me, as I've been in the business almost 17 years. When I get an individual that makes me happy, makes me want to do a show, it just gives me life all over again. But before we get started with today's show, you know, there's something about you that amazed me. Me and you, we talked, and I found out a special part of your life, a song that means something to you. So on behalf of the world and myself, I'd like to be honored to play a song that sits in your heart. And when, after the song is done, then we'll come back and we'll start the interview, if that's fine with you, sir.
I'm honored. Thank you, sir.
Dun, if I decide,
inspired it for you to mention it to me and have me play it on the show.
Well, what's funny is that song was a big hit. There's several versions of it, and that was the live one. This lady sang on the Ed Sullivan Show, and you know, that was a hit in 1963. And about a year ago, I woke up and that was playing in my head. Just woke up hearing Patta Patta in my head. And I think everyone listening to this is going to have that stuck in their head now. And, obviously I was really happy waking up hearing that. Yeah, it's just a joyous song. It's South African, eh?
Yeah.
Soweto.
I had to jump through many hoops to get the copyright to that song. But one thing I take away from it, even if you don't understand the culture or the diversity or the language of the song, is you take away joy, you take away unity. What does unity mean to you, Norman?
Unity?
Yes, sir.
We're all humans. We're all God's creatures. And, I mean, we're all different, but we should be united in our moral outlook. And just we should be here enjoying life. That's why we should be here, is to enjoy life. And every day is a gift. Every day is a gift to us.
Every moment is a gift. You know,
yeah.
We, as the elder spokespersons for both of our countries and around the world, we thought we had an understanding of life. We thought we truly knew the path where we were going. And then 6 months ago, the world really took a 180. And it has you and I and others like us walking on a path that we never knew, we never understood. So how hard is it for somebody of your knowledge and acute ability to get a greater understanding and perplex that to the younger Canadians, because you've never been on this path before yourself, my friend?
Yeah, that's right. Lead by example. Try and lead the best life you can.
How does it touch your heart, though, Norman, to not have an understanding when you thought you knew what it was to live in the world that we do?
Yeah. You know what? It's not hard. It's not hard. I've always played by the rules, and I've expected others to play by the rules. And then 14 years ago, I got thrown under the bus by my employer, City of Mississauga. I rescued someone from a truck wreck on my way to work. I was in uniform, and I was in this city where I worked. I got injured rescuing this guy. And they said, yeah, tough break. You know, I lost my house, lost everything I own. Fortunately, my daughters were old enough. They made their way in the world, and they're doing quite well. And, when you lose everything, you think that stuff's not that important. And so now I'm trying to fix what happened to me, and exactly what can I do to fix it for other people? And in doing so, things are getting better for me. It's karma, I guess you'd call it, eh?
Yeah, it truly is. You know, Norman, we all look at our countries in different ways. We all walk a different path. We all have a different outlook on life and how we perceive things. What does it mean to you, Norman, to be a true Canadian? What does Canada represent, not only in your heart, your walk?
I'm a true Canadian. My family came here in 1635 with Champlain. Two of my ancestors were couriers for George Washington. They were taking communications from George Washington, and they were taking that up to what's called Lower Canada at the time. It's now Quebec. And that information was then going to the King of France and to the French government, which helped the U.S. And, I mean, my family's been intricately connected with the Americans forever. It's my background is in both countries, and we've been here 400 years. That's a lot of history, and I look at it as something that they're trying to take away from me and all the rest of us Canadians. They're trying to fundamentally change Canada, and I won't have it.
You know, a lot of people would start their interviews out with about Canada Day, but we'll work our way up to that point. You know, about a year ago, I had someone reach out to me, and I brought them on my show, and I took away a lot from that show, you know, because Americans have Canada portrayed as Green Acres and the land of aid, don't you know, and, you know, they think everybody gets along. And then I got a really dirty look into what's really going on in such a beautiful country. And it bothered me. I've taken on many plights of many people in their walk, from the Palestinians to South Africans to you name it. But something sat in my heart about the plight of the Canadian people. Because how could a country just mere hours from me be so completely indoctrinated, completely destroyed, and the people truly from their government are being shown no value or respect? And so I had to dwell into this. And what I seen was a very corrupt prime minister, a very corrupt deputy prime minister in Chrystia Freeland, who caused the fall of Venezuela. Dr. Teresa Tam, who's really, in my opinion, a man. I have my own personal opinions in life, and I could speak.
I saw him a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, sir.
And I was about 20 feet away, and that's a man.
Has a bigger Adam's apple than us both, bro.
Yeah, that's saying something.
Yeah, you know, I've had journalists, commentators, news anchors on my show from Canada that played like they didn't know Dr. Teresa Tam was a man. But, you know, you look at, I call it a regime. And what they've taken away from the Canadian people has broken my heart. They were way, way more advanced in the government takedown as compared to the United States. How does it feel to be one of the first true Canadian patriots or aspects of Canada and watch your country be sold off day by day? Not only to the Islamic and Muslim aspect, but to the Chinese, and to watch your government portray such corruptness and so blatantly. How does it make you feel in the heart, Norman, knowing that you're watching your country fall apart right before your eyes?
I'll tell you how I feel. I'm having none of it. I'm having none of it, okay? And I'm smiling right now. You know, I don't have sorrow in my heart. I'm really optimistic, and I'll tell you, it's been. I'm a major troll, And I'm a big troll in that I like to screw up things for governments and people like that. And I don't know if you know this, but I copyrighted the Firearms Act. And I also copyrighted Trudeau's latest gun grab. And I went across to Gatineau, across the Ottawa River to Quebec, and there was a convention there for a political party. And I wanted to meet with Maxime Bernier, the head of that party. And I was there just hanging out with everybody else. And a woman I had never met before in my life. And she came up to me and she said, "Can I lay hands on you?" I didn't have a clue what that meant. I didn't know what it meant. Yeah. And I said, "Of course." And she put her hand on my shoulder and started to pray. And I was really moved by this. Why would she want to do that? And, you know, that's quite an honor. Well, a few days later, I'm on Parliament Hill interviewing politicians, and another lady who I didn't know asked to lay hands on me. And I thought, this is getting kind of spooky. And she did, and she sincerely prayed over me. And she said, "You have angels watching over you." And I said, "Oh my," you know, puts a shiver up your spine. And then I'm talking to this candidate. I'm talking to a candidate. He's wearing a suit. He's all Mr. Politician, right? Tall, good-looking black guy. And we're talking about politics. And he stops and says, "Can I lay hands on you?" And then he's praying over me. And I thought, what is going on here? I'm on a mission now. And I got contacted about 3-4 days ago. You know who contacted me? A Dene clan mother. Now, the Dene people live in the Northwest Territories. They live in our Arctic is where they live.
Yeah.
And she's a clan mother. Well, what she explained to me is the chief runs things day to day, but the clan mother's the boss. Okay, she's like the grandmother, the matriarch of the family. And she told me that they had been doing a tobacco ceremony every evening for what we're doing, every evening. Can you imagine a Dene clan mother doing a tobacco ceremony for you?
I would be
honored. I was speechless. What do you say to that? And she saw what happened on July 1st. And she said she is organizing a group of clan mothers. And she said Apache, Cree, Ojibwe. She's organizing for the clan mothers to come here to Ottawa and give a speech on Parliament Hill and march to the American Embassy the same as I did. Now, that's strong spiritual medicine, isn't it?
It truly is. It's an amazing story, too, because it adds so much value and context to who you are. You know, you don't have a social media site. You're not one that's out there. You're on the ground. Your feet on the ground, and that makes a major difference. You know, let's kind of start jumping in a little bit to Canada Day. You know, this draft was put up. It was put into letter form. What was it that made your coalition or the aspects involved with you really look back and just say, we have to sit on the true, most valuable, poignant topics and address them in this letter to President Donald J. Trump? I mean, when you look at it, you chose very wisely. But what was the thought process in your group that made you decide to make certain aspects stand out?
Well, it's a group. Now, I did a rough outline, and I'm you know, former firefighter, have no legal training whatsoever. But guess what? Once again, these ladies approached me. I didn't know them. You know, I had no clue who they were. And we sat on a patio and had cranberry juice. And they said, we want to do anything we can to help you. And a couple of them are paralegals. And this one lady, she says that she gave me a Mac computer, which I didn't need, which I then gave to one of the other ladies. And we worked on this, and I didn't write the six-page brief. I contributed, but I didn't write it. I got phone calls where one of the women was crying because they were trying to get it concise, short, to the point, and what stays in and what goes out, and they were getting very emotional about it. And what's more important than children? That's number one in that brief.
Yes.
There's three sections. Nothing more important than children, right? And their safety and their happiness. So that's a no-brainer. You put that in there. And the same thing with President Trump. I know that's his number one priority. You know, he's taking, if he can get the breadwinners bringing home more bread, then the kids are going to be happier. And I know that's what he's about. You know, he's a family man. He's a father. And so we put that in. The second part is the rampant corporate corruption in Canada. You know, we're ripping off from the Americans big time. And our corporations are ripping off the Americans big time. And that has to stop. We're money laundering. There's a Clinton Gustra Foundation here in Canada. It's a Canadian foundation, and they don't have to disclose donors, whereas the Americans do. So if you want to bribe a Clinton, or you want to bribe anybody, you give money to the Clinton Gustra Foundation here in Canada, and then they donate it to the Clinton Foundation in the States. And what shows up on the books? Just the Clinton Gustra donating. It doesn't show who put the money in there originally. So this kind of stuff's been going on. SNC-Lavalin is a huge construction company in Canada, hence the name Lavalin, it's French, and they're based in Quebec. They were procuring prostitutes for Muammar Gaddafi's sons. They bought them a yacht, drugs, prostitutes. They spent millions bribing the Gaddafis. Well, when a corporation in Canada procures prostitutes, that's human trafficking, right? And Trudeau knew about it. He didn't care. That's doing business as far as he's concerned. So that's why that's number two. That is going to peel back the onion, okay? The more the Americans and the Mexicans look into this, the more they're going to find out about how they've been ripped off for decades. Now, I don't know if you know, but it was on the front page of several Mexican newspapers yesterday.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Trudeau investigated and SNC-Lavalin. So that's making the news. And Amina and I, the lady that does videos with me, we went to the Mexican embassy the day before and served the papers, and they took them. In fact, we went in there, and Amina was videoing it. You can see the video on her YouTube channel, which is Amina M, A-M-I-N-A, and then capital M. And you can see all her videos with me on there. So we went into the building that the Mexican embassy's in, and there's a guard sitting there wearing a mask, and he said, you can't film in here. And Amina kept on filming. And I said, I'd like to go to the Mexican embassy. And he said, it's on the 10th floor. Elevator's unlocked. It was almost like they were ready for us. And we went up there. And the receptionist, I told her what we were doing. And I was waiting, I was expecting, we were expecting someone to come out from the back and tell us that we're doing the wrong process and that, you know, it'd have to be sent by mail, whatever. Nobody came out. She took it and we served it on the Mexicans. And then we ran away because we thought somebody's going to come and give this back to us and we don't want it back. And yeah, we're laughing like kids after we got out. And then what is it? 2 days later, it's front page news in Mexico. So they're looking and it's, touch wood, it's working. It's working.
You know, on July 1st at Capitol Hill, you delivered the other half of that with no preconceived notion of what was going to happen today. How did it make you feel waking up seeing that the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, and the President of Mexico went into a joint meeting conference today?
Without Justin.
Yeah.
There's a video that Amina took of me ringing his doorbell. You seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it.
We don't see much of him anymore, is what the lady said that answered it. And there's more and more people getting involved in this all the time. And it's, I keep saying touch wood, it's working. It's working. They're going down.
Well, this isn't your first rodeo with the political aspects in Canada. You know, you've done this once before, and you've made a huge difference for the Canadian people. But now you look at Junior, and you see a man that's a pedophile, a man that lays in bed with China, that's truly sold Canada out to China. You've got the Muslim aspect that he's letting in by the plane loads and erasing their records. It's disturbing.
It's disturbing, but we can fix it. We can fix it.
Well, I'm getting that. And see, the thing that you'll understand about me is I like to dig into things because I'm very inquisitive about life and how the thought process of others work. You know, you did on that six-page document, you know, you had three issues. You know, the children and sex trafficking, corporate corruption, and you also had workplace safety standards and boards. Why wasn't the aspect of euthanasia, the teardown of the elderly society in Canada, why wasn't that one of the forefront issues?
Because our goal was to bring this to the forefront. And as I said in my speech, there are dozens of issues, dozens. But let's start with three. And I like to talk about the OODA loop. You know about the OODA loop?
Yes.
Okay, well, we're using the OODA loop, which means that your opponent is always reacting to you. My opponent has to react to me. I don't react to my opponent. Okay, I'll create a situation where they have to react to me. And just remember, how did they get Al Capone? They didn't get him for murder. They didn't get him for smuggling liquor, bootlegging. They got him for tax evasion.
Yeah, the only way they could.
Right?
The only way they could.
Well, that's the SNC-Lavalin's open and shut case. You know, they are kidnapped. Kids with these children aid societies, and the WSIBs, you can follow the money, and you can follow the tens of billions that's being siphoned out of the Canadian economy. Now, of course, euthanasia is a massive problem, but that's not something that you can just deal with in a six-page document, actually two pages, because two pages for each issue, and all of that. That comes later. That comes later. So we open the door. We put it on our ground. we're playing on our field now. And then later, these other issues can come in. We've got 192 pages of proof and signed sworn affidavits. Now we can just keep adding to it, right? We just keep adding to it.
Yeah,
yes. So, but we've got the, we got, you know, if I could get Justin Trudeau on jaywalking, I'd do that for starters.
if I could just get him, I would do that. That'd be cool. I'd
well, there
that.
You go. That's that. So that's the way we're working. Like, we don't want to talk about euthanasia right now.
Yeah.
Because it's not moving things forward. It's all about us and getting things moving forward. Now, later, that'll be dealt with.
Now, see, I know what it's like to have defining moments in life. Norman, you're walking up the steps. You have the documents in your hand. You look up and you see thousands of people. You see the Canadian flag waving. What did that moment truly mean to you? Not only as a patriot, but as a man.
Well, I was very humbled. And we started off in Confederation Park, which is down at the bottom of the hill. And it's a Parliament Hill. And it's Dominion Day, by the way, not Canada Day. Pierre Trudeau gave us Canada Day. We live in the Dominion of Canada. That's the official name of our country. So we marched up that hill, and it was sweltering hot. And I've got a bad knee. I got a bad back. I had a roof fall on my head in the fire and, you know, kind of messed up. But got up the hill, and I was hot. I was standing nearby while they were giving a couple of speeches, and I was woozy. I thought, oh, my God, I can't lose it. You know, I can't be gasping and stuttering in front of 10,000 people. I can't get a grip on yourself. And you know something? I went up there, and I think that someone else took over for me. It was weird because I saw the speech afterwards. I thought, that's really good. I'm not a public speaker, but I thought, that is really good. And I didn't have a speech written. I was just going to wing it. And some other part of me or somebody else took over and gave that speech. I don't know what you say about that. Like, we were just dumbfounded after that. And then going down to the embassy, and we had gone the day before to the American embassy, and I called the FBI down in the States to tell them what we were doing. And I said to the FBI, I said, look, on Dominion Day, July 1st, there's going to be thousands of friendly Canadians outside your embassy. And we're there to deliver some papers, and we're all patriots as well. And this is a friendly march. It's not a protest. So the FBI got that. And the agent I was talking to said, we'll get that to the right people. Well, Amina and I went to the embassy the day before July 1st. And security guard comes out when we knocked. And then he went in, and a guy in a Hawaiian shirt came out with some ID. And he says, hello, Norman Traversy. And I'm giving him this look, and then he says, he points to Amina, and he says, and I know who you are too, Amina. And I said, you probably know what kind of car I drive. He says, yeah, you drive a black Jaguar XJ license number, and then he gave my license number. I said, okay. I said, so you know why we're here? And he says, yeah. I said, we'd like to deliver this package on Dominion Day, and how should we do it? He says, we can't accept any packages. I said, what say I just leave it at your door? He says, then we'll call the RCMP bomb squad, and they'll have to destroy it. you can't, it's like leaving a package in an airport. You can't do that. I said, okay, then what can I do? And he said, we're going to have a fence around here. This part of the sidewalk is American territory, and that part of the sidewalk is Canadian. We're going to fence off our part. And he says, you can lean it against the fence, walk away, you know, for the cameras, and then come back and pick it up. And that's exactly what we did, and it worked. And he stood there, and I said hi to him. I said, you remember I was talking to you yesterday? And he says, no, you never talked to me before. So that's what we did. And then people were singing and cheering, and they were marching. I said, you guys got to keep moving north so everybody can see. And thousands of people marched by the American embassy and saw me with this red box full of documents. And it had already been sent by fax and by email to the Americans. And we got a receipt from the White House. So it was legally served. And it was just awesome. We were just floating on air after that.
Well, of course you
would. It could not have gone better. The night before, a guy from Quebec, he says, I've hired security for you. And you're going to have a security detail. I'm going to pay for it. And I never saw those guys. The Ottawa police were awesome. And then some ominous-looking guys with black pants and black T-shirts with wings on it. You know which guys I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. You could mention them on my show. My show's not censored.
Okay, well, but anyhow, they came up and they wanted selfies, and I did selfies with them, and they said, we're going to watch out for you today, Norman. And I never saw them again, but apparently they were just kind of mingling in the crowd. So I was really safe. And, it was that was an awesome day. Awesome day. I put that up with the birth of my children. Those were awesome days too. So I've been really blessed. It's really good.
Well, you're changing history, and to be able to look in the faces of so many Canadians that have truly lost hope, truly lost certain aspects and thought process in life, to be able to actually do that for them.
Pat-a-pat-a.
You got it right, bro. I mean, it was a harmonious moment of unity. You know, I wish I could say I've done half of what you've done in life. But just to, you know, be in that moment and to look down into the Canadian people's eyes and see just that moment, that glimmer of hope and prosperity through your actions.
It's not a glimmer anymore. It's gone beyond the glimmer stage.
Well, you get what I'm getting at. I let you tell your story. I just kind of add to aspect to get you going. But what do you hope will come out of this meeting with Trump and the president of Mexico today? Do you think some of the accomplishments that the Canadians have put on the table will be addressed at this meeting?
Yes. And I think they're both going to have that document, and they're both going to have my letter with my signature on it. That's gonna be on the table.
Yeah, let's see.
And number one is child trafficking. So, you know, that's number one priority for both of them. Too bad it's not a priority for Justin.
No, and, you know, a lot of people don't understand. That's been my number one, and I think a lot of patriots' number one objective is the sex trafficking, the pedophilia, protecting our children.
You know what? In the next room, I'm in the Swiss Hotel in Ottawa. It's a beautiful little boutique hotel, and that's where Amina's staying. And she is right now, I'm watching. She's talking to someone that has been sex trafficked from the age of 3 that you may want to have on your show.
I would be more than honored to.
Well, I'm looking at her right now, and she was trafficked with Drew Barrymore and Heather O'Rourke, and she's got some stories that I think you should talk to her before you have her on the show.
Well, yeah, because a lot of people don't realize that Henry Winkler, a.k.a. the Fonz, had a lot to do with, you know, some of the aspects that you brought up. Going back to Happy Days, you know, this was propagandized on television. You know, Americans, they really need to wake up, and so do Canadians, and do your homework. And if you just look, when you look at something, don't just look at what's in front of you. Look at the whole picture. And when you look at the whole picture, you'll pull a story. You'll pull context. You'll pull a different relevant aspect of what you thought you were seeing. You know, with Heather O'Rourke, it's, you know, Henry Winkler wasn't quite the nice man. But, you know, we need to drain the swamp. And that's one thing I think President Trump had in his heart from day one back in 2016. And I think he's going to take it even further before 2020 is up. You know, I think the COVID has been used as a smokescreen. I think the riots were used to divide and separate our country into divisions and to weaken us as a society. And the same has been done in Canada. Now we're facing a second lockdown. It's just more democratic control, more liberal control. But people are waking up. You know, it's kind of funny, Norman. I'll get somebody that'll hit me probably today or yesterday or even tomorrow that will say, "Oh my God, did you see this?" And it's something I've known about for 5, 6, 7 years. But I don't knock them because it's beautiful that people are opening their eyes.
And that's right.
To wake up. What does it mean to Norman Traversy knowing that Canada is now waking up? You know, before they used to say the sleepy-headed Canadians really didn't want anything to do with it, but now even the sleepy-headed Canadians are waking up to what's going on in front of them, and they're demanding change for their country. So what does it mean for you to see the great awakening of Canada?
I've got three daughters. And they've all turned out to be wonderful people. They're wonderful people. And I hope to have grandchildren. And what it means to me is I'm very optimistic about the future for my kids and everybody else's kids. And I'm smiling all the time. I'm not angry. I'm not bitter. And God knows they've done a lot to me. But I got a T-shirt, and it's got the Black Knight on it, you know, from Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and underneath it, he's got one of his arms chopped off, and his legs are chopped off, and he says, "'Tis but a scratch." Right. That's the way I've been operating, and you know, I'll take on Justin Trudeau. He's just a man, actually a subhuman, but
I like that. He's just a boy.
Yeah, they call him Blackface McFenty.
You know, Norman, I hope you don't mind can I ask you an elephant in the room question? Because
yeah.
It's something that's, as a journalist, we do our jobs, we look into different things, and I had to become well-versed in Canadian politics to interview Canadian aspects. And throughout the year, I divulged myself completely into watching many shows and many different scenarios play out. Now, you have separatists, you have true patriots, you have many different movements. You know, I asked you a question the other day about Wexit. And I was wondering if you can go a little deep in complexity with your thoughts on Wexit, but then top it off with your thought on where you stand on Canada becoming the 51st state of the United States of America.
I stand in favor of it, and I don't think it's going to be Canada becoming the 51st state. I think there's probably going to be, 60 states, right? Because Alberta is very different from Quebec.
Most definitely.
And, yeah, you know that Alberta was settled by Americans.
No,
did you know that?
No, that I did not know, sir.
Yeah, they wanted the cattle industry in Alberta, and they gave a lot of American cowboys land to come up here, and they already had the expertise. And then, of course, they discovered oil. So Alberta is Texas North, and I lived for years in Alberta, and they are as close to Americans as you can get and still call themselves Canadians. And they have been used by Quebec and Eastern Canada for decades. They've just been a source of money, and that's it. They don't care about Alberta, not a whit. And now Alberta knows it, and Saskatchewan. I was talking to someone in the Wexit movement, and I said, Saskatchewan and Alberta both separate. And he said, it's bigger than that. So we don't have a constitution here in Canada. They call it a constitution. It's several thousand pages. You know, it's just a hodgepodge. And an American constitution you can carry in your pocket, right?
Yeah.
And I actually filed a complaint with the Canadian Human Rights Commission about being locked out of an Ottawa courtroom. And, you know, I got back that the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms does not apply in the Ontario court system. I got that in writing. So we don't really even have any human rights. Apparently, the Charter of Rights and Freedoms only applies in federally regulated organizations. So I'm a person with no rights. I'm a person no law. The law doesn't apply to me. And the law doesn't apply to Justin Trudeau until now that we've got the USMCA. And for Canada or parts of Canada to become part of the U.S. would be a step up. I hate saying that. I mean, I'm a patriotic Canadian in that I'm patriotic about the Canadian people, not the landmass.
Well, the thing that I think a lot of people may not understand in that thought process or in that orientation is, okay, if you let China come in, it's absolutely no longer going to be Canada.
That's right.
If the United States becomes Big Brother or, mutual, countries with each other that back each other, the U.S. isn't going to go in and govern Canada or tell Canadians how to live. They're just going to protect Canadians. They're going to make sure everything is right. But a lot of people look at that idea and that ideology right now and they say, how can that even be a gratifying thought process when both countries are truly under attack? But people, wake up. COVID is a complete smokescreen. And they use the riots to ensue more hatred.
Yeah.
But what is happening behind those is where the truth lies.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more going on than you or I will ever know, Norman. People don't even know that, Canada, the United States, and the UK and New Zealand conjoined to go after the Chinese government in Hong Kong, that Justin Trudeau bowed out of that A lot of Canadians don't even know that he bowed out of a meeting with President Trump. The thing of it is, he knows he's on the hit list. But in my opinion, I think he'll be more of an asset to the American government than Epstein ever could be. What are your thoughts on that, sir?
Yeah, I think so, too. I think so, too. You've got to talk to this lady that I can see in the next room. You've got to talk to her because she's got a history with Trudeau and with Pierre Trudeau as well. And you said your show's not censored. I'm telling you, this one heck of a show to get her on.
I would love to. Like I said, just pick a day and a time and we'll make it happen.
Okay.
You're my brother, eh? I don't define borders. You know, there's no borders that tell me I can't be your friend or your brother. You know, you come on my show, it's because you've made a difference in life. You made a difference in history. And you're a man with a lot of compassion and unity and heart for the people that not only do you surround yourself with, but that you see in everyday life and everyday struggle. My friend,
yeah.
You're a modern day hero.
Yeah. God bless you.
You truly are. You know, I wish I could say I'm half the man that you are. You know, I'm accredited in several different ways, but no way could I ever fulfill the shoes that you walk. What does it mean for you and your family to know that you're creating a foundation, not just a base, but a foundation to change Canada, to hopefully one day see Canada whole again?
What else could it mean? It's awesome. It's humbling. It's an honor. It's an honor. But it seems like every time I need something, I get it. Whether that's a person or someone with a skill. If I require it for some reason, it shows up. I mean, Amina M. on YouTube, I think it was 2 weeks ago, maybe three, but I was on Parliament Hill and this attractive woman comes up to me and she says, "Are you Norman Traversy?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Can I do an interview with you?" I said, "Of course." And we walked around to the Centennial Flame and she held up a cell phone at the end of her arm. And I said, you know, no TV camera, nothing, just a cell phone. And I said, how many people you think are going to watch this? And she said, "I'm just starting out. I think maybe around 400. And I thought, okay, that's good, whatever. So we had an interview, and it went viral. 2.5 million views. 2.5 million. And that was her with a cell phone. Now we've done a number of them. She was supposed to leave Ottawa a few days ago. In fact, again, she was supposed to leave tomorrow. And she keeps extending her stay because more things keep happening. And she is really good at what she does. And she'd be good to have on as well as a separate show. But, you know, that's someone that just came into my life. And we're good friends. You know, we just compliment each other. And I think that's great. I've got these other people that showed up and said, you know, we're at your service. We just want to help you. And, you know, these people are working early in the morning on these things. And I've got all kinds of people with different skills. I've got a lady out west who's brilliant investigator, and she can find out anything about anybody or get me any information I need. I've got a forensic accountant in San Diego who's looking into the money laundering in Canada. I've got a retired two-star general, American general, used to be in charge of all army forces in the Pacific. And that's South Korea, Japan, Hawaii, Alaska, all of that. And he'll call me up. Hey, Norm, what's going on? What can I do? And the last email I got from him, he said, anything I can do to help, I will do. And this is a man that does meet with Donald Trump face to face. So I've got that kind of backing. And people just seem to appear that want to help. So it's, I don't know what do I say? What do you say?
You're good, buddy.
Show up, right?
Yeah.
I don't know you.
The thing about life. The thing about life is, it takes people think they hit 18 years old, they become a man, and then they hit 25 and they think they're somebody, and then you hit 30 and you go, what the hell did I do with my life? And then you start kind of trying to create a change and get a better understanding of who you are. And by the time you kind of get up where we're at, you come to the realization that it takes a lifetime to become a man. I personally don't think you truly become a man until the day you're buried. I think knowledge is something that we accrue daily. You can teach an old dog new tricks. But what I see in you is a testimony, a God-given testimony to a man that was meant to bring hope and change to a great nation. God chose you. The people chose you. That's something they can never take away from you, Norman.
I think so. I was put in the right place at the right time, knowing that I've got this badass attitude, I'll take on anybody that I think is evil. And I know Justin Trudeau's evil, but you might as well get mad at a vacuum cleaner, right, as get mad at Trudeau, because he's a product of his upbringing.
That's the same with a lot of our atrocities in both cultures and around the world. Is people want to scream racism, but we're not born racist. We're taught to be personally ignorant, and that's taught at home.
You know what? I think my entire 64 years of life, I've only met one racist. And he was the head of training for the Mississauga Fire Department, but he's the only one I met. I've never met. Have you?
Have I ever? No, I've met ignorant people, but I've never met a true racist.
No, me neither. Me neither. Like, that's a catch-all word, isn't it?
Yeah, it truly is, because...
Really? You might not want to hire someone because of their culture or their ethics or even the way they dress. You might not want to, have somebody representing you that way, but that's not racism. Why do you have a job interview? Why do you interview people for a job? Because you want to see what they're like. You already know what race they are. Right.
Well, not with me, because you see, my job application, it says McGuire, but then I show up and I'm this brown guy because my mother was full-blooded Cherokee. But it's kind of an eye opener to them. But my employment record and my qualifications speak for themselves. So I get the job, but I get what you're saying. You know, Norman, these are dark times we're in. You're a shining light. Like I already said, you're a light of hope for the Canadian people. So if you had to give a message, I know you already gave one speech, and you already said you're not a public speaker. But if you had to give another message of hope, unity, and prosperity to the Canadian people moving forward, What would that statement be, sir?
It would be, keep your chin up and keep your stick on the ice.
I love that. Because it's truly, the more blunt, the more people should be able to take it in and conceive it and understand it. You know, I usually ask fighters this question, but I think it's fitting to ask you. I truly believe it is. Because I think you're going to give me three tremendous answers. And then we'll kind of wrap things up after this, but I truly want to get a greater understanding and meaning of what this pride, passion, and perseverance truly mean to Norm Traversy.
I've got a lot of pride, but I've been given a lot to be proud about. I was given an awesome childhood. You know, you don't get to choose your childhood, but I was given an awesome childhood, a very happy childhood. I'm passionate about justice. The name of my website is justiceforcanada.ca. You know, I can't stand injustice. And there's a lot of that going on right now that we're going to fix. And what was the last one?
Perseverance.
As I said before, the Black Knight, right? 'Tis but a scratch. Right? That's perseverance. And I don't know if you've read the Flashman novels.
No, I haven't, sir.
They actually made a movie about him in the 70s. And Flashman's motto was never kick a man when he's down. He might get up.
I love that. You know, that's funny that you bring that up, though, because my ideology in life is never look down on a man unless you're helping them up. But I kind of like yours, too.
Yep.
I'm not going to lie.
They kicked me while I was down, and now I'm up.
Oh, you're just getting started, my friend. You're just getting started.
We all are.
I think it's a beautiful thing you did for the Canadian people. I think it's a beautiful people that you did, you know, a beautiful thing that you did for the country of Canada. You know, it was an honor for me to have you on the show today. Like I said, you were one of my bucket list. I want to thank Carl at Black Sheep Truth Media because he asked me if you had an opportunity to interview a true Canadian, who would it be? And I instantly gave him your name and he said, done. And not 30 minutes later, you called me. And I was like a 13-year-old Giddish schoolgirl.
That was Carl.
I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
You know, to see somebody with as much prevalence and knowledge and compassion that you have, Norman, I don't think I could have had a better guest on my show. So
thank you. I
thank you for honoring and blessing my listeners and my show. I'm going to pass the mic to you. If you have a thought for those people that have stood by you through all of this, any websites, any social media sites, or just anything that you'd like to add in its complexity to the show before I let you go.
Sure.
The floor is
yours. Thank you. You can go to justiceforcanada.ca. And here's, after I filed the charges against Justin Trudeau, criminal charges, I was contacted by a promotions company out west. And this person said that she would like to be able to tell her grandchildren that she was part of this. Well, now she's put together a website. It's got all the documents up there, and it's all professionally done. And she's, you know, all of that, justiceforcanada.ca. And you can go on there, and you can download PDFs You can download the letter that I wrote to President Trump and the President of Mexico. It's all there for you. And Amina M has an awesome YouTube channel that's growing daily. You know, she just started out at this. And Amina M, there's another one called Facts Versus Feelings. That's a good website as well. And I'm going to be interviewed by the deplorable McAllister. You know her?
No, I actually, that's one show I don't actually know.
Okay, it's Linda Paris, and she's down in Florida, and she's had me on a couple of times, and there are 2-hour-long shows where I talk about Trudeau. And her name is Linda Paris, but she goes by Deplorable McAllister. So any of your viewers that want to look at that, but the big one is Amina M, because Amina, she's been told she's going viral. Well, 2.5 million on that first video with me and counting. She's very empathetic, very good to talk to. She's a really good interviewer. And you might want to get in touch with Amina. And anybody listening, go to Amina M.
I watched her in a couple of your videos. Very tremendous. I watched the Laura Lynn interview. Very tremendous individual.
Oh, yeah. Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson. She's awesome as well. I met with her a couple of times in Ottawa. Great sense of humor.
See, Norman, you're just getting started, brother.
Yeah.
Just getting started. You know, but I suggest all my listeners go follow Amina M on YouTube. Tremendous, tremendous work. Go to the website that Norman mentioned. I was on it myself. It is tremendously professionally done, very articulate, very easy to maneuver, and everything is right there for you at your fingertips. Norman, it was an honor for me to share you with the world today.
Oh, it was an honor talking with you.
Yeah. Well, this is going to be the first of many. Well, this is kind of an introduction show because I was amazed what you did for your country and for the world. You know, you're a man that stands with values and principles, and that's something that we can all hold dear to our heart. But
that's all you've really got in life, isn't it?
Yeah, it truly is.
That's all you've got.
But this was my introduction of you to the world. So the next show we have,
I'd like to quote Shakespeare.
Go ahead.
Polonius' advice to his son in Hamlet. This above all else. Be true to yourself, for then, as surely as the dawn follows the dusk, thou canst not be false to any man. It's not be true to yourself, it's to thine own self be true. To thine own self be true.
You know, I don't know if you're a religious man.
I'm a spiritual man. I'm not a religious.
I'll give you an opportunity to spiritual. Say a prayer at the end of the show, because a lot of my guests have lately taken to that because they feel it brings hope and unity to the world. I don't know if you're up for that. If you're not, that's fine.
Sure. Sure.
Okay. Go ahead, sir. Are you there?
I am.
Oh, I was waiting for you. I was going to see if you would say a prayer.
I'm not much on saying prayers. I just stay connected to who you are and what you are.
Amen.
I guess that would be my prayer.
That's beautiful. You know, Norman, get with me on having Amina and another person on the show. I'll have you back on the same episode. We'll do a 2-hour special. And we'll share with the world the adversity and the ugliness of what sex trafficking brings to our nations, brings to the world. It's our number one objective, people. We've got to stop this first.
Nothing more important.
No.
That's why it was number one on our brief.
And I love that. That's what I love the most, brother. That's, to see that as number one, I think it's tremendous, because you as well, as everybody listening knows, that Jimmy Kimmel got a show taken down, Ellen DeGeneres, Oprah.
Oh, Jimmy Kimmel still is down, is it?
No, he got taken down.
What do you mean by taken down?
He no longer has a show.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Wow.
So did Oprah. So did Ellen. This just happened last week. So things are changing.
I knew about Ellen. I didn't know about Kimmel.
Oh, yeah. Kimmel, he's completely removed off the marquee and everything. Completely gone.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. It's, the swamp is draining quicker than we thought. They're all running for the hills.
I'll tell you something. This lady that has been sex trafficked, and the names of the people that she's been with that have bought her, she told me just an hour or so ago that, you know, we're talking about draining the swamp, and she said half of them are gone now.
Yeah.
And she's very connected. She said half of this evil cult, and she said it's an evil cult that's over 3,000 years old, and she said half of them are gone.
Yeah. Well, she had a virtual tracker, and just to let people know how immense this situation was, at one point in time there was 187,000 sealed and unsealed indictments. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Norman, but I think each indictment can hold up to 10 people. So if you look at 187,000 sealed and unsealed indictments, and you times that times 10.
It's 2 million.
There's a lot of sick individuals in this world.
Well, you know what? They're not sick because they're born sick. They're made sick. And they are groomed from childhood for this. You know, it's something that if you were raised the way they're raised, they have no choice.
No.
You know, it's like getting angry at a dog with rabies. You know, you have to shoot the dog, but it's not the dog's fault that the dog has rabies. And I think the same thing of people like Justin Trudeau and the rest, that he was born into it and he had no choice. And someone told me that psychopaths are born, but sociopaths are made. I think there might be some truth in that.
I would have to agree with you. That's a pretty powerful quote. You know, one way or another, we're all going to die standing on our feet in protection of our children, our rights, and our countries. Norman, thank you for sharing your story on the show today. It was truly an honor. I'll give you a call.
It was an honor talking to you. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll give you a call in a little bit, and we'll get the other show scheduled. But from the great state of America, country of America, to a true patriot, thank you for sharing your knowledge, your wisdom, and your voice with my listeners and the Canadian people. On that note, you have a good day, and God bless you, sir.
God bless you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, what a tremendous, tremendous man. You know, I got to tell you, it really touched my heart to get the opportunity to speak with him. We're going to take the show out with a song by Soul Rebel Project. It's called Unity. You might not like the Jamaican flair to it, but give it a listen. I think you'll like it. And on that note, have a good day and God bless.
Here we go now, we're feeling love now. Solidarity, unity, love to all the people.
True love.
Spread love to all the people.
Here we go now, feeling love now. Solidarity, unity, love to all the people. Spread love to all the people.
It's free speech.
Why do we put ourselves in boxes, categories, and divisions are toxic? Just one blood running through everyone's veins. Yeah, yeah. Say do not judge others if your hands are clean or dirty. People struggling through things unseen, yeah. I said all that they need is some upliftment and encouragement. That's what we came to do, yeah. Time to turn around your attitude and just realize how we get to. So many people struggling, all they need is some love, yeah. Here we go now, feeling love now. Solidarity and unity, love to all.